RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
There is a new trade deal. Trade ministers of New Zealand, Switzerland, Iceland and Costa Rica have come to a deal where all tariffs are removed on key New Zealand exports, including 41 wood and wool products. It's the first international trade deal from New Zealand that wasn't facilitated by the World Trade Organization. This is called the ACCTS, the Agreement for Climate Change, Trade and Sustainability. Yeah. And perhaps the way of the future with more non-World Trade Organization or WTO deals in the future. Here's what that agreement says regarding environmental goods in this joint ministerial statement. It says that the agreement includes the most ambitious and environmentally credible list of environmental goods to date, with a definition and criteria to guide ongoing updates. Tariffs will be eliminated on over 300 environmental goods on entry into force of the agreement, including, here we go, solar panels, wind and hydraulic turbines, electric vehicles, wool fiber, recycled paper, electric carbon-intensive construction materials, and so it goes on. So you note wool in there. So I want to welcome to RCR Federated Farmers Meat and Wool Chairman Toby Williams. Hi, Toby. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I just described this agreement, which wasn't a WTO agreement, though it conforms with WTO, I guess, criteria or regulations. Is that significant at all, first, before we talk about anything else?
No, I don't think it is significant, but it just shows that you know, when nations want to get together, they don't actually need to have the WTO as part of it. It shows that, you know, this government's serious about getting some trade going, and they're working pretty hard at it. So we're really happy.
Yeah, so wool in there, along with other things that aren't anything to do with, you know, natural stuff, solar panels, etc. But okay, whatever. I'm curious. When I was younger, wool was big. I remember there was a building in the city I lived in, Wellington, that had the wool logo on it. I knew people who, over the years, who worked, and we're going back years, for the wool board, and they were always marketing New Zealand wool. And, you know, it was just so much part of our, I guess, trading life. What happened? What happened to wool?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's the wool, our nation was built off the back of a sheep. Wool was incredible. It peaked at the Korean War. And she's been a pretty steady slide down from then. And really what we've had is synthetic fibres have dominated. Wool was out-marketed. You know, we're out-manoeuvred at every opportunity. And it's a real tragedy. And, you know, we've seen the numbers of sheep drop from about 70 million in the late, you know, 1980s down to about 20 million now. So it's she's been tough pill to swallow for sheep farming. And at the moment, we're about as low as it's ever been, although they are talking slowly starting to bounce back up again.
It's a far superior product. This is the interesting thing. You said out-marketed by the synthetic fibres. We all know it's way superior. So how was it out-marketed, do you think?
Well, I think what these guys said, you know, if you go to, we use carpets. Most of our wool went into carpets after the Korean War, you know, the wool uniforms for the armies and that sort of stopped. So it all went to carpet. And with nylon carpets coming in, the manufacturers took the opportunity to say to consumers, do you know how you get the wool off a sheep? You've got to kill it. And to break it lie.
That's not true.
No, it's not true. But we lacked the leadership and the leadership now of the people to actually fight back against that. And so they got a foothold. And we saw through the late 1980s and into the 1990s, you know, the synthetic carpets really start to take off. And when you look at the rhino carpet ads, you know, when you put a rhino and they launched that. They put a rhino carpet in the Auckland Zoo and had a rhino go and live on it. And said, look how amazing it's stain resistant and all this stuff. I mean, wool's all these things as well. And then they tell stories about how carpet bugs get in there and destroy your wool carpet and all of these things. And from a wool marketing perspective and a wool leadership perspective through those years, that they thought, oh, no one's going to believe that. You know, everybody knows the attributes of wool. But we know what marketing does. We've seen that with social media and those way these massive companies grow now is the fact that they've just gone, you know, and everyone go, you know, if you tell people often enough, they believe it. And now we've got to try and find our way back. And I was just, we've just had a conference in Wellington this week, and we had the Prime Energy New Zealand conference down there. And one of the panelists I was on a panel with, it might have even been the Minister Mark Patterson, he said, you know, 5 years ago, if we'd invented wool, if somebody had invented wool 5 years ago, it would be a multi-billion dollar industry now. People would be blown away about the capabilities of it and what you could do with it. The fact is, it's not, and we're still struggling. And like you said, it's a super fiber.
Yeah, which is, I imagine, if you want to think about environmentally damaging processes, creating that synthetic product sounds more like some kind of chemical operation than anything else. So surely it checks out even at that level. It's like so much friendlier for the environment.
Well, it is. And one of the big things about wool, we're using carpets again. Wool carpets, you know, they're flame retardant. Wool's naturally flame retardant. So for those nylon carpets, if you get some nylon, it's incredibly flammable. So they go douse their chemicals and the carpets and chemicals to keep them, you know, from being flame retardant, because they've got to have fire-safe homes and they've got to have a certain burn rate. So they soak them in chemicals to get them that way. And it's just an inconvenient truth for them about it all. And they're those PTFAs, I think they are. And they're the same ones they use in the firefighting, firefighting foam that are now, I think, we go down to Burnham and around those areas.
And Ohakia.
So it's really toxic areas there. Well, we're putting this in our car, in our homes.
And kids are crawling over it.
Kids are crawling all over it. You know, we're breathing it in. And yet wool sheep are the bad boys of the world. I mean, we're seeing some changes in Europe. These chemicals are now going to be banned in Europe. And we're also looking at the end of use. So once we've finished using carpet, you know, there's millions of tons of it every year go into landfill. If you take wool carpet, that's going to biodegrade naturally. You can't get a better product than that.
Yeah, because it's designed, that's what it's designed to do by nature. Yeah. What is the potential, Toby? Are we having to just do a marketing exercise to take advantage of a wool market that still exists? Or are we having to be part of making wool great again, let's say?
Yeah, I think there's both of those things go hand in hand. We've got to convince people that it is actually the super fiber that we all know that it is. But we also need to be looking at alternative uses. And there's a lot of work being done on this now. We've got, you know, medical grade products we made out of wool. We can break wool down into very, very fine microparticles for pigments and things like that. So there's areas, you know, where we've got 100% natural things. And I think, you know, the more we sort of see these microplastics invading our environment, we need to latch on that as an industry and the marketing side of it and say, you know what, if a fish or a bird eats our wool, it's not going to die. It's going to digest it. It's going to come back out the other end. It's not going to kill it. So we really need to swing this marketing around and fight back against the big guys.
So we need to hammer those points relentlessly over and over again, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. But the key to it is we've got to be able to fund it. Now, and as an industry, we've got to find a way of doing this that is actually, you know, we've got to take some ownership. We need some government support, yes, but we can't expect the government to come and bail us out on this. We've got to find a way, find some money, and start convincing people that actually, you know, wool is the way forward.
Yeah. Can we ever go back? You mentioned, you know, sheep population, 70 million. That's right. And it always used to be, you know, a joke that everybody made about New Zealand and stuff. We were really known for the sheep. Do we have to go back? Can we get back to those days in terms of the industry of it, do you think? Do you think it's possible?
Yeah, I don't think so. No, I think, you know, we need to sustain ourselves at about 20 million ewes. At the moment, we've got a risk of, you know, land use change going to forestry and going to other uses, you know, more dairy support and things like that. That we're getting close to the point where it's very difficult to resurrect it. You know, when you have an industry, you know, when it starts shrinking like we have, we start losing shearers. Shearers are critical, you know, to getting wool off. And you need to shear your sheep at certain times of the year. And if you don't have them there when you need them, if it starts raining and they go somewhere else because it's raining, when you can't get your sheep shorn, so people turn away and maybe change to do more beef and things like that. think the times now, and with the government we've got, if we can't make wool, you know, one of the largest exporting earners again, then maybe we're never going to. Maybe it is just a cottage industry where people will share a few sheep, you know, for the old homespun jersey.
Yeah, that's right. Though, you know, with tariffs not applying, as per that little bit I read out before from that list of environmental goods, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. No, it's fantastic. And just it makes it, the, you know, the playing field even. Anybody, any time that we are using, you know, tariffs as a way to, you know, tariffs are only protectionist. They make the consumer pay more. So effectively, a consumer can go and buy our wool products in these countries now, and they're not going to have, you know, they can pay less, or more to the point, we can be paid more, and more can be returned back to farmers than, you know, than what would have been before. And it's a fantastic step forward.
Yeah, of course, the synthetic industry isn't going to sit still, is it, if they perceive wool on the comeback? I'm just thinking.
No. No, they've got big budgets. You know, it costs very little to, you know, to make a synthetic carpet or synthetic products in general. You know, synthetics, we've got to remember, are a byproduct of the oil industry. So as oil comes out, pours out, you know, and we put it into our cars. As they break it down, they use that for the nylons and for those other synthetic products. So until we sort of solve that, you know, or we make the producers of these products accountable for the damage they're causing in the environment, then people start turning away, going back to more natural fibres. That's the key.
Yeah, okay. In your role, are you seeing, well, I'm sure you've seen a political change in things, but are you feeling confident about what you hear from government about commitment to agriculture? Because I've talked to a lot of farmers on this program, well, quite a few, and there is a perception that they're under attack in terms of an industry. And, you know, that possibly has something to do with what we've been talking about, the way, you know, the perception of farmers or our farming methods contribution to climate change issues, et cetera, whether you believe it or not, had some effect. Are you happy with what you see from this government? Do you think they're focused on, you know, pushing these opportunities?
Yeah, they are. And we were seeing that, you know, compared to previous regime, they definitely are. They're respecting farmers a lot more, but they're also listening. It's really important that, you know, that they do the job that they're doing. You know, they want to double our export revenue by 2030, I think. So it's only 5 years
away.
Yeah,
that's tight time.
And
yeah,
it is tight. And we're an agricultural producing nation. You know, we've got to be able to do it. It's really, you know, and, you know, we've just had the government talking to us in Wellington, and they really are, they want us back on side. They want us growing. We need to be, you know, if we're growing, then we've got jobs coming as part of it. We're prosperous. We're helping to get our debt levels in this country down. And until someone here has a brainwave like Ozempic or something like that, where we can maybe move our exports away from being primary industries, we've got to rely on, you know, wood, wool, meat, and other produce, horticultural produce, to drive the prosperity of our nation. And farmers are feeling a little bit more upbeat. It's very difficult being a farmer at the moment, and that's got nothing to do with the government. That's our pricing. But we'll know we'll get back out the other side of this.
All right. Well, it's good to hear what you think about that, and good to see wool being mentioned again. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I really thank you for the support. It's really great.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, well, Toby Williams, Federated Farmers Meat and Wool Chairman, thanks for coming on, and we'll keep an eye on wool, and if there's anything more we need to know, we'd like to hear about it, so thanks.
Fantastic, Paul. Thank you very much, mate.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.